You're listening to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we are still on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're studying verses 12 through 31. Last week we talked about the 9 gifts of the Spirit that should be in operation in the church today. We're also looking at an illustration that Paul is using to make a point about how the gifts of the Spirit should be operating in the church. Paul compares the gifts of the Spirit to the human body and its importance in the body of Christ. The human body has the hand, the feet, the ear, and the eye. He points out that the human body is made up of many parts, and all parts are equally important to make the human body whole. And he relates this body as the body of Christ. We are his eyes, his ears. We are his hands and his feet. We are the ones that he sent to tell the world about the gospel. We are the body of Christ. He dwells within us, individually and as a whole. We are the temple of the Lord, and the Spirit of God dwells in us in each of these areas so that the church would be a body of believers that will be ready for his soon coming. The body of Christ has strength in it because of the gifts. Also, the gifts of the Spirit helps us as individuals to grow and to know the will of God. Each gift is important in the body of Christ. One gift is not greater than another, nor is any gift or office too small. They are all needed. The Corinthian church that Paul is writing about had most of the gifts of the Spirit operating in the church. They were a blessed church. Even though they were a worldly church, they still had the gifts of the Spirit operating in it. But because they were a worldly church, they even misused the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul had to instruct them again about their use. In verses 12 to 31 of our lesson today, Paul seems to be accusing some of the believers in the church at Corinth of not wanting these gifts to operate in the church. Now, in our day today, we see very few churches that have all 9 gifts working in the church. And many of the churches today don't even believe that the gifts are given for our day. They believe it was only for the church at Corinth and the early churches. But the lesson that Paul is telling us today in 1 Corinthians 12 is applicable to the modern day church. It doesn't make sense that Paul would talk to this church about having the gifts, and we know that other churches also had the gifts, and not believe that it's for our day. He equates the gifts to body parts. And in Paul's analogy of using the human body to make his point, he appears to indicate that they wanted to gouge their own eyes out, or cut off their own hand, or do away with their own ear. How absurd would that be, Paul is asking. Would you really want the body of Christ not to have an ear, or not to have an eye? Also, we believe that the body of Christ is applicable for our churches today. We say that we are the body of Christ, but yet we want to deny the gifts of the Spirit that operate in the body of Christ, which doesn't make sense either. Are the personal converts of Paul in his day somehow more blessed than the minister that I was saved under? Are not all ministers called the same, and all believers treated the same? Jesus said there's no respect of persons. And we are under the headship of Jesus Christ, and his gifts are for all his sheep and not just for a select few. Has Christ done away with parts of his own body? How absurd would that be? That's the things that Paul is asking. No, the gifts are still relevant for the church today. But the problem is the church is not fasting nor praying nor asking for these gifts. And Paul says in this chapter that we are to ask for the best gifts, and God will give them to us. But we know that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And it says in this chapter that the Spirit is the one who decides who will receive the gifts. It is said that some receive several of the gifts, while others only receive one. And then there are others who receive no gifts because they have not asked. Paul told us that the nine gifts of the Spirit should be working in the church, but he didn't say that we would all have these gifts. He says in verses 28 through 30 that God had set some in the church, first apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, and different tongues. But he asked the question, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? And do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? And do all speak with tongues? And do all interpret? Now, the only gift that he didn't mention here is the gift of faith. That gift we all have. We have been given a measure of faith. There is a gift, though, of greater faith than the measure of faith. It's the faith to overcome. It's the faith to live victorious lives. It's the faith to be mature in Christ. That's the only gift that he has not mentioned in this last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that gift we should all have. So Paul is saying that not everyone is going to have these gifts. But he is saying that the gifts should be in the church so that the church would be edified. The body of believers is made up of individuals. These individuals are important. And no gift or individual can be done away with. We know that the spiritual gifts abounded in the church at Corinth, but they were greatly abused. And we're going to read in later chapters that they were even out of order with many of the gifts that had been given to them. They were freely given of God and were given for the advantage and the salvation of others. But it appears that they may have been given to people who were out of the will of God in their personal lives. I know that sounds strange, and you may be asking the question, do you mean to say that God will give gifts to men who may misuse them, or even to men who may not be living holy lives? Yes, he uses weak men. We can't look at a person who has a gift and put them on a pedestal to say that they are above other men. Because a gift does not make one more holy, as we said last week. The gift is to edify the body of Christ. It is to be exercised in love and with the fruit of the Spirit. It is to be regarded as one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit give us an insight of who the Holy Spirit is. We see his wondrous works, that he has come to bring healing and life and to help the body of Christ. But sad to say, the Holy Spirit has to use weak men in order to fulfill his purpose. Even in the Old Testament, he appeared to weak men for his ultimate purpose, to reach a nation or a group of people. God has always had to use weak men. If he had to wait for men to get their lives right with him before he used them, then the gospel message would be just stuck in the mud at the get-go, because even the most saintly of men have failures and misgivings, and they halt at the gate sometimes in this race of God. But someone said, well, if God can use a donkey to speak to Balaam, I suppose he can use weak men to fulfill his will. So we mustn't look at the person, but we must look at the work of the Holy Spirit. Because with the Holy Spirit, we can receive from him. But any misuse of these gifts by weak men will be dealt with by God himself in the day of judgment, I do believe. Hirelings who use God's gifts for greed instead of for souls or for the edification of the church will have to answer for it. We want to ask the question in this lesson today, what is the will of God? This question has been at the forefront of my mind this past week. When we want to know the will of God, we usually think of specific questions that we want answered. And we pray in the Spirit and ask God for answers to specific questions, such as, should I buy that piece of property, for example? Or should I move to that new job? And sometimes we even get trivial in our specific questions that we want answered. So we ask God to give us specific answers to specific questions. And God does give answers sometimes to these things. But most of the time, he's silent on specifics. And I've wondered why. The only answer that I can come up with is the story about the father who was taking his family out on a Sunday drive through the country back roads. It was just a ride in the country to see the beautiful fall colors on the foliage of the trees. This father had no specific place he wanted to go as his destination. He just wanted his family to enjoy the ride. But as he's driving the car, his little girl keeps asking him, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And finally, the father has to tell his little girl, you don't understand. We're just on a ride in the country to no specific place, to just observe the beauty of nature that God has given us. He said, we've already gotten there. It was when you looked at that first tree that you saw that had changed colors. Many times we miss the beauty of the trip because we don't recognize the will of God all along the way and what he's revealing to us. Sometimes to get a glimpse of what's ahead, we have to look at the blessings that he's already given us. To be headed to no place in particular except home when we finish this ride. God is interested in the specifics, and the gifts are given for specifics, but the gift is also given for the body as a whole, so that they may promote the gospel and win souls. God has a broader view for the church. What is the will of God for the body of Christ? It is so that the believers may become strong and mature, so that they are no longer tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, and that they would know the true gospel message that Jesus died for the sins of man, and that we are to believe and to receive him and to submit unto his will, that we may grow thereby. Many believe that the gifts are to be used solely for the body of Christ, but we know that many of the gifts are used to reach the unbeliever, such as the gift of the unknown tongue. We also know that healings, that many unbelievers will find God through healings or prophecies. The church should be about the business of winning souls. But sad to say, many times the church can't even get its act together well enough in order to win souls. We are continuously starting all over and doing our first works over, and we fail to be mature enough that God can even give us the gifts. The Holy Spirit woos, and the Holy Spirit comforts. The Holy Spirit gently nudges us toward Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus Christ to the church. That's its function. And the function of the gifts is that we may see Jesus. So we're to trust Him. That's His will. We're to trust Him in the gifts. We're to trust Him in our walk with Him. And we're to trust Him in our work in the body of Christ. Whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we are to say, "Thy will be done." And especially in the gifts of the Spirit, we are to always seek the will of God. What is the will of God concerning the gifts of the Spirit? It is that every church and every body of believers have the gifts working in that church. Also, His will is that the gifts of the Spirit be operated along with the fruit of the Spirit in love, peace, hope, and joy. Paul wants them to know that these gifts are extraordinary powers that they've received from the Spirit of God. He wants them to know that it's not a fleshly gift that they have received that's at the will of man, but it's at the will of the Holy Spirit. Paul has to tell them these things because there were worldly men in this church who wanted to control the Spirit and control the gifts by their leadership. But Paul says, no, the Holy Spirit works on His own. He needs no man, but He uses men in order to build up the church. And He doesn't want them to be ignorant of the fact that it came from God and is to be used for His glory. He says in verse 13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So He says we're baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. When we're baptized in water, we believe it's a symbol of becoming new with Christ. Water baptism is different than being baptized by the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in the new birth experience is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit Himself to join us together with other believers who are also one in the Spirit and have become the body of Christ. We each together make up the building. We can look at it this way. There's a difference between building a house and then someone moving into the house. In the new birth, the Holy Spirit comes into the soul of a man. He quickens his spirit and makes him a new man or woman in Christ. At the same moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit moves in to take possession. Ephesians 1 and 14 says the Holy Spirit seals us with the earnest of our inheritance. Now you know what a seal is. A seal is something that some nobility or some government affixed to documents to guarantee its genuineness. The Queen of England has a special seal. It's called OHMS. If you're in England and you see that seal, It means on Her Majesty's service. If it's on a document, it's a document that's sent from the Queen or her staff, and it's to be handled with great care because it is concerning the Queen's business. If it's on a letterhead or an envelope, that letter would go from place to place, but it would be protected by the carriers who were delivering her message. It could never be lost. It was something that had the Queen's stamp, the Queen's seal, the name of that person, the dignitary that it represented. And that's the way that the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit stamps its seal upon the believer in the body of Christ, that we are indwelling by Him. He has placed His seal of approval upon us. And we cannot be tempted in our soul because the Holy Spirit has set a seal upon us that cannot be broken by the enemy. He can tempt us through the lust of the flesh, the lust of our heart, but He cannot tempt us in our soul because we are born again. That is the will of God. So as the body of believers, we should grow in faith in knowing that God has placed His seal of approval upon us in the body of Christ. And these gifts have the seal of approval of the Holy Spirit, and they're given to edify the believer and the church, and they're necessary to ensure the will of God that we can grow in Him. The Holy Ghost is a divine person. He's the third person of the Godhead. He divides divine gifts at His will and by His power and according to His own pleasure without dependence or control by men. But even though He distributes these gifts freely, they are intended by Him, not for private honor or advantage to any one individual, but for the public benefit, for the common good, for the edification of the body, the church. Titus 3:5 says, "But it is by the Spirit, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, that we are made members of Christ's body." Each member has its particular duty or its particular gift. We should not feel that we are useless in the body of Christ just because we're not a hand or we don't have one of the best gifts. All believers have the Comforter. In this Corinthian church, there were some leaders who wanted everyone to follow them. They wanted to have one leader with many followers, and they wanted to make it one member. For example, a hand. And there was only unity in that one little group that worked as a hand. But Paul says there must be a distinction of members in the body. Were the whole body an eye, then where's the hearing? Were the whole body a ear, then where were the smelling? He said, if the whole body was a hand, then where is the foot? Now, this is hard for some of us to grasp, but he's just saying that each gift and each member has their place in the body of Christ, and one is not above the other. He is saying that you cannot have pride working in the gifts of the Spirit. And we know that there is a tendency for pride to get in the gifts of the Spirit. Paul's warning against that in this chapter. He's saying, don't let pride operate in these gifts of the Spirit, that it is for all and it is to be in unity. It's also a rebuke to these prideful men who want to take these gifts as their own and receive the glory from it, instead of trying to edify the entire church by their gift. If you have a gift in the church, you are to be a servant. You're not to be a lord, is what Paul is trying to say. One of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not covet, but we can covet spiritual gifts, according to Paul in this chapter. And he says to covet the best gifts. Well, he makes a list of the gifts, these offices, and we don't know if he's given us the list in the order of the best to the least, but it appears that way. He tells us that first there's apostles, who are the chief ministers who are entrusted with all the powers necessary to found a church and to show the revelation of God's will. Then he says, second, prophets. Then thirdly, he says, teachers. And after that, he says, miracles or miracle workers, the gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. That means different tongues, which is the last on the list. We're going to read in later chapters that Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all, but if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. So we don't know what Paul meant when he said, seek the best gifts. But there are some gifts that edify the church more than others. In verse 31, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. But then he adds this last thing, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now next week, we're going to study about what that more excellent way is, and it's going to be about the fruit of the Spirit called love in chapter 13. Matthew Henry says, love is greater than the gifts. And the teachings of Jesus confronts us with the demand for love of God and of our neighbor in our use of the gifts of the Spirit. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we know that you love us and that you want us to love each other. You want us, Father, to have the gifts of the Spirit because they are to edify and build up and help us in this warfare that we are in this earth. We know, Jesus, that you care about the church, your body. We give you the praise for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
Later.